journal while I was there, and I just want to share with you from my journal. Basically, that's all we want to do tonight. Amazing trip, friends. This is the fourth time now I've been to a third world country, and it never ceases to amaze me the perspective that you bring back with you. You want to get down and kiss the ground when you land back safely in the States again, and you know, thank God for what you have that you take so for granted every day of your life when you see what's out there. The Philippines, are probably one of the richest, most Americanized of the third world countries. In fact, I'll talk a little bit more about it in just a second, but it's still a third world country. And we're spoiled, I'll tell you. We really, truly are very spoiled. Anyway, Psalm 37, verse 4 is a verse that all of you know. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Then there's a promise. If you do that, if you delight yourself in the Lord, there's a promise. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, some have misused that verse to say that God's just going to give me everything I want because I'm on his team. That's not what that verse says. What it's saying is that he will replace the old desires with new ones and make you appreciate things that you've never appreciated before as a pagan. And that has certainly been the case with me whenever I get to make trips like this. Just a wonderful thing. Just a wonderful thing to be able to see Scripture at least be renewed in our understanding of what lens we should be looking at Scripture through. And very, very profitable. This conference was promoted and put on by International Partnership Ministries. You all should be very familiar with that name. International Partnership Ministries is based in Landover, Pennsylvania. And it is, I'm not sure if it's Landover or not, it is Pennsylvania. Brother George DePa is part of International Partnership Ministries, and so we send a check out to him every month through that vehicle. And in my personal opinion, they are the best mission agency in the world today. I wish I had time to go into why I think that, no one is even close to changing my mind on that because of the stand they take, because of their theological position, because of the unfathomable quality of their missionaries, George being, of course, case in point. And then I got to meet one of the great, great unspoken gems in the world today in Dr. Roberto Jose Livioco. He is the Asian representative of IPM. And by Asian representative, I mean he's responsible for the Philippines, Guam, Japan, all the Asian nations in that vicinity. He's in charge of those, and so that's IPM put this conference on for those people, although some of them just can't make the travel, and so a lot of them don't show up, but it's very, a tremendous thing this is. And this man, I'm so, so glad that before I died, I got to meet a man like this. I don't even know where to begin to talk about this man and what he's done, how many people look up to him. The fact that he has been put in such a place that he is and the time that he is for such a time as this. That's what I kept thinking of the whole time. So many of these young men that are quality men themselves look up to him. They consider him a father figure. They look at him for guidance and direction in their lives and their ministries, and he's there to provide it. As a lovely wife, as they all do, the family situations of these people that I've met were just astonishing. He's got five kids, all of them walking with the Lord, and just a real treat. I'll tell you one thing. I guess about 6 years ago, the evangelicals within Pasig City, where he's located and based, just got together and got up in arms over him because of the position he takes and the fact that he will not compromise with any of the frequent, obvious evangelical compromises that are current and rampant. So you're not going to believe this, but one day they hear banging on their door, banging like that, and they don't know what it is. I mean, they have no idea what's going on. To make a long story short, they find out that it's not the cults. It's not Iglesia Ni Cristo. It's not the other cults in the Philippines. It's the evangelicals nailing their door shut and boarding them in their house, making them prisoners in their own house. That lasted for 2 days. They finally, Mrs. Livioco finally was able to find an egg, a kind of a hard-boiled egg. She wrapped it in stuff to prevent it from breaking and wrote, "Help, please," and threw it across out of her window and successfully landed it into the window of her neighbor, with a plea to call their parents for help. And eventually the police got involved and they were rescued out of their own house, having been boarded in by evangelicals. Just astonishing. That's just one story of the kind of suffering that these people have withstood to have a solid testimony for Christ. And if you knew this man, I mean, this man is not belligerent. He's not your typical independent Baptist out here who gets his jollies off on being abusive to people, you know, and basically treating people like dirt and garbage, following after God, Jack Hiles. This is a lovely, lovely person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ even more than he loves the people he serves. And the things that they have suffered. In fact, I was talking to Imee. Her name is Imelda, just like Imelda Marcos, but they call her Imee. You can just see they've been through so much. You can just talk to her and you see the tears come out of her eyes for the things that she suffered. You know, she just can't quite put it away. And just unbelievable the things that they've been through to have the kind of testimony that they have. And it is sensational. The spirit of this thing was phenomenal. People just love Christ, love being there, love the word. Just so unbelievably refreshing. I mean, just, I don't have the words to even describe it, really. They were sad. They were absolutely depressed when it was over. Depressed. They refused to go home. They all agreed that they used to do it in 4 nights. And they said, well, that's kind of too much. People have jobs. They have things to do. Because it wasn't, I thought it was just for pastors, but it wasn't. The other people could come too. And they did. But you could just see the disappointment. They wanted to, you know, let's build 3 tents, one for you and brother, one for Livioco, and we'll just camp out here and let's just extend this thing a little more. And, you know, that wouldn't have been so horrible for me. But anyway, that was the attitude. Can you imagine hating to leave church? Can you imagine that? It's just an astonishing thing. Anyway, let me just kind of recap the trip for you, and I'll do it according to what chicken scratch I have here on these notes. Joetta got me to the airport on time, and I admit I was nervous. I thought it was going to be so difficult to be in airports by myself where you can't speak English. Actually, the fact of the matter is that Narita in Japan is the easiest airport to get around in that I have ever been in. It's 10,000 times easier than Seattle Airport. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it almost didn't start off good because as you go through the, you got to take your shoes off and they, check you to see if everything's okay. I thought for a second there that I had lost my boarding passes because I had this travel jacket on and I didn't realize how deep, I had forgotten how deep the pocket is. And my boarding passes had slid all the way down. So I'm reaching in for them, and they're coming up empty. There's nothing there. And so you know how sick you feel? You know, you think that, oh, no, I'm going to miss my flight. I got to go back and do this all over again. How are they going to even believe me? But then I stuck my hand down. One more chance, a little bit, and there they were, all the way down at the bottom. So I got out of that one, right? And the flight itself was okay, except that I realized that we were not making good time. Because there were several typhoons around. And so we wound up, to make another long story short, we wound up getting in 45 minutes late into Narita, which I, again, pushed the panic button a little bit because as we landed, my next flight was boarding already. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to navigate the system that well to make it on time, and I did. The Lord made that happen, and I was so grateful for that. And so we made it onto the next flight without any problem whatsoever. Getting my luggage was no big deal. That came right up within fairly decent time. And so I had made plans to meet Bobby at Terminal 3 just outside the gate because I found out before I left that my phone did not have international coverage. And so I had a dead phone, and we just said, listen, if something happens, I'll try to find Wi-Fi or I'll try to use the airline's things. But anyway, we got out there, and he's late. And because the traffic was extra bad. The traffic is always bad in the Philippines. No matter what time of day, you'll be traveling at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's still traffic. The traffic is unbelievable. It'd take you 4 hours to go just a very short distance. But we did hook up. In fact, I'm standing there by myself with my bags wondering if he's going to come. You know, 1 minute seems like 1 hour. And I see him coming. Thank God we had a Zoom conference. Anybody know what Zoom is? You can actually see each other. It's an astonishing day and age we live in. I can see this man halfway around the world on my phone. And thank God I had paid attention to what he looked like, because I see him walking right by me. And I said, Bobby. And he didn't even see me, even though I told him what I'd be wearing. But we did hook up, and we did make it in. And the first thing that struck me was the oppressive heat. For the end of October, it seemed that, you know, there is heat and there is heat. There is heat with no humidity, which to me is very doable. And then there's the kind of heat you'd get back in New Jersey or Philadelphia, which is, you know, kind of, I mean, it's not comfortable, but this was like a sauna, like a steam bath, even in October. And I'm thinking, oh wow, this is just amazing. But we hop in his car, and I gave him the 100 pesos to pay for the parking that Nanita had given me, and he appreciated that. And that, in fact, it was just right on the money. In fact, it was 50 pesos for that, and then there was another 50 for him to drop me off when I left. And so, Nanita, your pesos paid for parking coming back and forward, and that was a great blessing to him. Anyway, the drive in was just amazing, just amazing. The Philippines has 16 million people. It's not a big place. 16 million. That's twice the population of New York City. And so there are lanes on the streets, but many times the lanes are not even obeyed because people are jockeying for position. You've got you've got motorcycles in and out. How these guys don't get killed is beyond me. You've got tricycles coming in and out with people. How anybody can survive. And there's no accidents. I didn't see anything even close to an accident. But there's a special technique to be able to drive successfully. Because if you're not aggressive, you're not going to go anywhere. You're just not going to go anywhere. And so it was a couple of times I realized I was just, you know, white knuckling it, you know, on the street out there a couple of times. But that's the way it is. That's the way it was. So we finally landed at our hotel at the Astoria Plaza, beautiful place. It's a 3.5-star hotel, which is fairly nice for that area. And the room that they had gotten reserved for me was beautiful. It was, I mean, compared to other rooms that could have been, it was a suite, actually. And it was everything that, all the comforts that I possibly could have wanted. beautiful suite. So that was our first night there. I forget what time I got in. I should have wrote that down. But just turned in for the night and just thanked the Lord that I made it safe and ready for the week, which started the very next morning. Actually it's a day ahead, so I got in Wednesday night, and Thursday began the conference. So breakfast was down, wonderful breakfast, every morning, just a buffet, just unbelievable. The breakfasts were astoundingly good. The pastries in the Philippines are arguably better than America. They are fantastic. I said, oh, thank God I don't live here. I'd be so addicted to these pastries. There were a couple I couldn't stop eating them. They were so wonderful. I forget the names of them, but it's almost a good thing I'm out of there, because I start looking like a pastry even more than I do already. But they were wonderful. The breakfasts were wonderful. And I got to know Bobby's family that morning. They were just a total delight. They have a young 17-year-old girl, beautiful young girl, just extremely talented, very, very godly young lady. And I got to meet her and just learn how to enjoy her as the week progressed. Wonderful kid. And Mrs. Livioco, just a gem, absolute gem. Really enjoyed being with them. Then we went upstairs. I had about 2 hours to kill before the conference actually started. And so 10 o'clock in the morning, the World Series is on. And so I got to watch a little bit of the World Series. And that was strange, because I knew it was at night. On at night here, but that's what happens when you're halfway around the world. So the conference starts, and immediately you're struck by the singing. You know, you hear this wonderful, these people actually sing. And it was just a beautiful thing to my ears to hear this wonderful, loud singing in this broken English. And I remember I was thanking God for the universality of the gospel, how the gospel reaches every single person on the face of the earth. Without respect to, there are no male nor female, no bond nor free. And it was just a lovely thing to be a part of. You know, the greater I heard the accent, the more I loved it. And that's just how I felt about it. It was a glory. It was a wonderful thing. And then, sure enough, actually before that, the Garcias walked in, the relatives of Jim and Anita. And they were my former colleague back in Kent, Eric Garcia. And his son is Jared, who has preached here, Jared Garcia, who's now in the ministry also. But they were just, what a great, great reunion we had with them. They were so kind to me. They bought me this beautiful jeepney, expensive, 1,300 pesos to take, bring back. I was going to bring it in, but I couldn't carry it all. They were so kind, so, so wonderful just to be with them. And just a great reunion with them. So the conference begins. Let's just go quickly through the conference. The opening session was on the Bible and same-sex marriage, a tremendous presentation by a young man named Pastor Ruel Palitang, from San Mateo Baptist Church in San Mateo, Rizal. Really sharp young man, very handsome, very, just he's got his, you know, just carries himself really well and did an excellent job working and presenting the material and did a great job. The Philippines are really lamenting the way things have gone here in America because they consider us to be their big brother, you know. And they, but they are facing a bill called the Soji Bill. And if it passes, it will be illegal for a pastor to not marry same-sex couples. It'll be illegal for a pastor to preach against homosexuality. And they could get hauled off and put in jail for it. And so the thing is really up in the air right now. In fact, a matter of fact, one of the governors of the province has showed up to the conference, a young crippled woman who has been reelected and reelected time again. And so she's a big, big name, and she got to listen to all this and really, I think, was impressed. It seemed that way anyway. But anyhow, in fact, this is such an issue over there right now that Dr. Livioco wrote this excellent pamphlet that is, I think, definitive on the whole thing and how it's destroying Filipino civilization, just as it's destroying our civilization here. He says here, just one quick quote, "Ever since the Dutch Parliament passed a bill allowing same-sex couples to marry, divorce, and to adopt children in the Netherlands last December of 2000, a number of others followed. But the whole world felt the shock when the United States of America Supreme Court made their controversial ruling to legalize it in June of 2015. Those who celebrated the decision claimed that theirs was a battle won by a minority in pursuit of equality. For conservatives, it was a blow to the ethical and moral norms of society, emboldening LGBT advocates worldwide. As the saying goes, when America sneezes, the whole world catches a cold." Really eye-opening. This LGBT is expanding. They keep adding a new letter on all the time. In the Philippines, now it's LGBTQIA. And there'll be more letters added on later. That stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, asexual. And there's more coming. The thing just keeps expanding as the push is going on to make this more and more legitimate. And the only thing that we can possibly look forward to is the same result that happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. There's no other alternative. In fact, the Lord will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't judge America. Well, that was the first seminar done at 3 o'clock, and then we moved immediately into the next one. My pastor, Danny Galas, he was a cool guy, Pastor Danny Galas. The people love him. He had, in his little church, he had five awesome musicians. And they all, and in fact, every one of them took turns leading the music. And one was not better than the other. They were all tremendous. They could play instruments. They were a highly gifted musical church. And I told them, "Brother, why don't you give me some of those guys? We've got a wonderful young girl playing piano for us, but we could use a few more. And you know, why don't you share the wealth a little bit?" But they were so easy to get along with. You know, they were so magnanimous and wonderful. But the music presentation that they had was phenomenal. And he gave a tremendous exposition of what happens when churches turn to pragmatism. And it would be just like he was here in America. His emphasis was what you win them with is what you win, was what you've won them to. If you're going to use a worldly means to bring people in, guess what's going to happen? They're going to be expecting the same thing, and they're not going to get saved, and your church is going to be filled with tares. It was a fantastic presentation. Then we took the lunch break, and then I was up after that. Actually, we didn't take the lunch break. We went right into it. And I preached on the good minister's belief and behavior, which was the theme of the conference from 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, and that went really well. I aimed it. I did it here, but I changed it for them. I made it very hermeneutical. I showed them what you do with a verb, what you do with a direct object, and I really almost made it like a classroom lecture. And they really appreciated that. I mean, they got me afterward and said, thank God, that was so wonderful. And some of them are learning these things. You know, they're a little bit behind in their learning, but they just so much appreciated it. Man, they said that was just such a shot in the arm, and I believe it was. All right, after that, we had our dinner break, and back to the evening sessions. The first one up after the dinner break was Vital Signs to Look For in a Church. And this was an old guy. He lives in Chicago. He's a Filipino pastor in Chicago. And he made the trip over, and he basically just had, he didn't have an axe to grind, but he had been persecuted horrendously over issues concerning church discipline, and so he kind of geared his thing more toward that. Not one of the better presentations, but he was a wonderful guy, and his wife was just a joy. They both were a joy, really. Pastor Charlie, pray for Pastor Charlie out in Chicago, and he is... He's a good man of God. Then after that, we move right into the 7 p.m. session, The Root and Result of Compromise, Pastor Romy Diaz. Romy is short for Romeo. Now here, I guess you might not be appreciated having the name Romeo, but I understand it's a fairly common name out there, and they call him Romy for short. Wonderful guy. Just a tremendous man. Oh, what a man of God this guy is. Really a heart. When I think of him, I think of a heart. In fact, after the evening service, he comes up to me with tears in his eyes, and he says, Pastor, my heart burned, he said. And he meant it. It wasn't a show. It wasn't an act. It really did. And, you know, just the sensitivity that these men have toward Christ and the Word of God was so refreshing. And the thing about it is they have a sense of humor, too, you know. I mean, he's doing his thing on compromise. And Rule, the young sharp guy, the guy that led off the thing, you know, he's teasing him. Like friends do. They give each other a hard time. You call him compromiser, pragmatist, ecumenical. You know, just letting them have it. And they're laughing, you know. But just part of the excellence of the fellowship that these men enjoyed with each other. And then I came up, I did my mandated righteousness response to false teachers out of Romans 16. And there are some times in your life as a preacher when you really are sensing that God is there. You really, there's no mistaking about it. And so you better just get out of the way and just let it happen. And it did. You could hear a pin drop. And it was powerful. And I mean, it was a special, special moment. That was the highlight of the conference. Is that evening service, and I hate to even say any more because it'll ruin the effect, but it was a very, very powerful moment in the conference, very, very powerful. So when Romy Diaz comes up to me with tears in his eyes and says, my heart burned, he wasn't alone. I mean, it was the Lord that was there, and you could just tell. I mean, there's about 150 people in the room at least, and you could hear a pin drop. I mean, it's just, you know, every eye is riveted. The Holy Spirit has all their attention, and it just went unbelievable, unbelievable, confirming with the position that some of these guys were taking in the face of unbelievable opposition, not only from cults, but from evangelicals who don't want to trust God on this one doctrinal issue called biblical separation. Next day, let me just get back to. In between, during the dinner hour, actually a little bit before that, they said, all right, we have to go get you a barong. This is what I'm wearing here. See, this is the traditional Filipino garb. Yep. And this is what the pastors wear. They don't wear shirts, you know, and tie and suits and sport coats. They wear this, the barong. And it's everything from, a really relatively inexpensive cotton to this really unbelievable silk combination of threads that run up in the area of $150, which is, I should have looked up how many pesos, just a staggering amount of pay. This one cost 1,300 pesos, which was about 25 bucks, I think. So that was so nice of them. I told them, I just casually mentioned I sure would like to have one of them. The next thing I knew is we were all walking out to the mall. It was a long walk. It was almost a mile to get there. And it was so sweltering hot. And so I'm out of shape. I'm overweight. And I'm just pouring sweat. I'm the only white guy, just pouring sweat like somebody's dumping a pail of water over my head. And they're trying to try this stuff on me, and I'm in that condition still, in the mall. And they had such great patience with me, I felt like I wished I had a rag or something to dry myself off, and I was getting this thing all wet. But it turned out that they bought it for me, and I was glad and grateful for that. By the way, the malls in the Metro Manila area are astounding. We have nothing to compare, absolutely nothing to compare. We went in one building, the S&M building. Or is it S&M? S&M building. And it's seven stories high, seven escalators, seven floors. And as far as the eye can see, that's how big the building is. It's just astonishing. The malls are a national institution in the Philippines. People go there just to escape the heat because they're air conditioned. To me, air conditioning is air conditioning. But to them, even if they can get the temperature down to 80, that's air conditioning to them, and they're doing fine. I'm still sweating, but they're doing fine. But the malls, and there's not just one mall. There's all kinds of malls. It's just an astonishing thing to behold. The money dumped into these malls, the size of these things. Just the food courts alone are a whole giant floor of wonderful delicacies. I mean, I would have loved to just camp out and try sample some of these fares, that they looked so good. And I did get to sample some stuff that I thought was extremely delicious. But the short of that story is that's how I got my barong through much trial and error and loss of sweat. In fact, they said, no, there's no way we're letting him walk back. And they called a cab, and we drove back to the hotel. Thank God, because I could have made it back, but I could have easily made it back. But they said, well, he sweat enough for today. Yeah. After the service on Thursday night, we all walked just a short half a block to these burger joints. The place is full of these little burger joints. And that was fun. That was just a fun time of sharing and laughing and pretty decent burger, too, actually. About 300 pesos for one little tiny burger. But that was good. And, of course, they supplied it all. In fact, Charlie bought me my burger just because he wanted to. And that was neat. Okay, next morning, Friday morning, breakfast as usual. And it really wasn't a usual breakfast. We got there really early, much, and it was a much better breakfast. They had this ham, this chicken. It was a chicken that tasted like a sweetened smoked ham. It was utterly delicious. And I thought I was eating ham the whole time, but it was chicken. I couldn't believe it. But the spread was just incredible. Everything that was on that spread, I loved. And for breakfast, you don't just eat eggs and waffles. I mean, they put out, it's like a dinner almost. And so I learned how to do that too. But then we had this phenomenal theological conversation afterward that was so edifying, just so stimulating to be with your own peers, guys interested in the Word of God, being able to have that kind of a conversation was just a tremendous encouragement to me, and I really, really appreciate it. Well, conference started right on time again at 2 o'clock, and of course it went all the way to 10, and you can see on your schedule there, a guy from Bob Jones came in, and Pastor Abbott Tianco. And he spoke on the proper use of social media. Man, was that eye-opening. How kids are killing themselves on social media. How we're becoming a bunch of robots. It was enough to make you just toss your cell phones. And the Philippines is the number one nation in the world for excessive cell phone use. They're number one. Nobody uses more cell phone than the Filipinos do. And he really sounded a tremendous alarm about what that's doing to your spiritual life. It was phenomenal. I mean, it was so unbelievably convicting that just what time well spent. And this guy was so professional, very, very intelligent. In fact, he's on the Bob Jones faculty. They fly him in and out to do these modules. And that was just a wonderful seminar there. And then Pastor Eric Garcia was up after him, and he preached on dangerous men in the church in the last days. Basically, he took 2 Timothy and preached the whole book at one setting, and did a good job with that. Okay, then we had me come up, and I preached on the critical nature of theology to the life of your pulpit and church. And that was a little deflating afterward. I thought I did a good job presenting it, but I realized that a lot of these men are not really trained. They don't even know what theology is. And I tried to say that theology is life, and that as you're preaching through through the books of the Bible, you're covering things like the hypostatic union, like the impeccability of Christ, like the virgin birth, like unconditional election, like the fall of man. You're covering theological concepts, and that's how you're training your people. But that one, I think, fell a little bit flat, not because I did a bad job, just because they're not used to theological concepts that much. And so maybe, hopefully, that was a stimulation to get more on the stick with it, and I think possibly that would happen. That moves us into the evening, where Pastor Livioco preached. He's a sensational preacher. He took the book of Habakkuk and said, all right, we've heard all these things, and now what are we going to do about it? And he preached, he showed from the career of Habakkuk the difference between trusting God and not trusting God. And it was just sensational, absolutely phenomenal how he handled that book. Tremendous, perfect addition to the thing. Then we had a panel discussion. All the preachers were sitting up on the platform. I was included, and they just fired questions at us, and that lasted quite a bit. I was able to talk about the difference between dispensationalism and Reformed theology. I was able to talk about replacement theology. I was able to talk about some of the things that are plaguing churches here, and they were familiar with it. In fact, they had a time where you could write down your question. And one of the questions for me was, how do we prevent losing our young men, our gifted young men, to Reformed theology? How can we prevent that? And I said, well, your pastor's got to start preaching the goods. He's got to be able to keep them by studying and paying his dues in the study hall every day. Otherwise, they're going to try to find a pasture on a greener level. And that's what's happening. And they didn't complain. They said, you're right. You're absolutely right. And that was the one thing, most impressive thing about them, I think, is they were willing to listen to sound advice and counsel, especially from Scripture, and say, yes, I need to improve here. This is what I'm going to do. Instead of looking for excuses, you know, trying to bash the guy who's saying it over the head, they showed a tremendous maturity. And I think it's just part of their quality as men. And then the conference ended. I preached on Ephesus 30 years after the pastorals. I kind of did that on purpose. You know, this was their 30th event. Of this conference, the 30th year in a row. And I said, well, okay, here's what happened to Ephesus. Here's how Ephesus did 30 years after Paul told Timothy what to do about that church. How are you guys doing? Are you still in the same position that you were when you first started this conference 30 years ago? And amazingly enough, the answer was yes. Not only were they still in the same position, the conference had grown with quality people and providing just a tremendous opportunity for people to be refreshed by something like this. And then there was long, long picture taking afterward, just one picture after another. I thought it would never end. I mean, we were going into 10. It was 10:30 at night. We were still taking pictures. We finally made it back to our room. We went to the biggest room on the 31st floor, which is where we all the speakers were staying up there, and just had another tremendous, they brought in the pizza. Pizza's wonderful. I mean, just tremendous, tremendous pizza. The fellowship was way better, actually. Just a tremendous time of fellowship up there. Okay, Saturday morning, we got a day off, right? So breakfast very early, and another long theological discussion, arguably even better than the other one. And I spent the day basically just relaxing. I was exhausted. I really was. I guess I could have gone swimming if I wanted to. They had a nice pool down on their level, but I didn't do it. I just kind of chilled and wound up sleeping a lot, actually. I didn't realize I'd had jet lag. I felt pretty good, but I wound up sleeping a couple of hours and wound up preparing for the next day, which was the Lord's Day. And they took me that night to this wonderful Chinese restaurant. They called it China. I said, I'm thinking Cucina, you know, but China. And it was wonderful, just tremendous. And then after that, we went to the Eastwood community right outside of Pasig City, and the mall situation was unbelievable. Like already, October 1st, all the Christmas decorations go up. And so it's this winter wonderland. There's these miles of walks. People are walking in and out, you know, and the Christmas lights are everywhere. I mean, it is a winter paradise in the middle of the tropics, you know. But that was a lot of fun. They pay these characters to dress up in these ghoulish costumes and scare the children. There was this headless thing, and you know, all these ghosts and goblins and creatures and whatnot, and you know, but the kids seem to know that it's fake, and they don't get too scared. You know, they just point and say ooh and ah and whatnot. But that was an interesting night, just walking around out there and seeing life on the streets. I mean, everybody's out. You're not talking about hundreds of people. You're talking about thousands of people walking these mall walks and in and out of the stores and whatnot. And stopped at Krispy Kreme afterward and took on more calories. They have every single thing that we have here. They have everything. You name it, they've got it. All and more. And then Sunday, the Lord's Day came, had breakfast with Bobby Livioco, and just a glorious service. I preached on John 7 and the Lord Jesus in the tabernacle, come unto me, not come unto me, but if any man shall follow me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. That went sensational. And we had 15 people respond to the invitation. Which is just amazing. Nobody responds over here, but we had 15 people respond. And he does not, Brother Livioco does not give long, drawn-out, manipulated invitations. The hands went up immediately, and that was the end of it. And it was just a glorious thing. Then I went back up, napped again, because I needed it. And the evening service was amazing. Really amazing. We went to his old place where he rents out this little tiny room for his evening service. And they just keep coming in. It's a little room, probably maybe the size of these two walls here. And they jam-packed like sardines, 45 people into this room. It was just amazing. And I preached on the broken cisterns, the peril of trading Christ in for a broken cistern. And it was just tremendous. They wanted to hang out forever. I didn't think they were ever going to leave. I got people asking me my testimony. Some, you know, guys wanting to know that I'm thinking about being a pastor. How did it go for you? And able to just minister to these young men. They were just glorious. You just fall in love with these people. They're just wonderful, sincere people that mean business with God. And it was just a tremendous Lord's Day. I wish I had time to talk more about it. But both services were just tremendous. Wonderful conversations afterward. Then Monday was a day off, my last day there, and we're up really early at 6 because they had to take Danielle, their 17-year-old daughter, to the college. She's doing very much the same, very similar thing to what Caleb's doing now, and she had her class, and so we're just touring the University of the Philippines, Philippine University, big, giant, huge campus. And then we sat down and just had a drink while she was having her classes. And then we headed out to Tagaytay, where is the Taal volcano. And on the way up, we stopped at what used to be the Sky Palace that was built by Ferdinand Marcos. He was going to do really very much what Herod had done with Masada, building a winter retreat for himself. Also, Ronald Reagan was supposed to go there, but right when Reagan was going to come, Marcos got ousted. And so the thing was left unfinished, but it was still an amazing thing to see. In fact, the United States flew helicopters in, hauled Marcos off to the Hawaiian Islands, and basically saved his life because the people would have killed him. So they toppled down things that were there, and they turned the whole place into, now it's called the People's Park. So it went from the Marcos's Sky Palace to the People's Park. And you can see, you're at the highest point in the Philippines there, I think it's over 2,000 feet in the air, or even higher, and you can see all. You can have a beautiful view of the volcano, and so we went up there and got a really enjoyed the history lesson, that and we're able to see it right up close. Before that, we went to the Philippine version of Costco. It's called S&R, and it's like, and again, our Costcos are small, tiny, compared to these Costcos. They're like three times the size. But the food is better. It's hard to believe. The pizza is better. They got hamburgers, better hamburger. Everything is better. I'm not kidding. It was like New York. I love New York pizza. That's what it was. It was tremendous. Anyway, I just found that to be quite interesting. Then we had dinner at the Balai Dako. That means big house. It was kind of like an old, the big ceiling fans up top. The place had so much character and culture. And I got to sample some Filipino ware there. You guys know kare kare? Kare kare, that's my new favorite. Kare kare. Yeah, it's a peanut sauce. It's wonderful. So I had that 2 days in a row, kare kare. And had it in Tagaytay, and I had it in Eastwood community. Wonderful stuff. Tremendous. Okay. Then came the downer. There was only one downer. I've been talking about hermeneutics all week with these guys, and I had to confess that I had done some eisegesis in my hermeneutics of his original communication with me, because he handed me a bill for the hotel, and of course that shocked me out of my mind, because my understanding was that the hotel was paid for. But it turned out to be a blessing anyway, and it's my great privilege to. So I'm out $504 now for this hotel, but that's no big deal. We can do that. And it was mostly my fault. He didn't say you had to pay for the hotel, but I should have been able to figure it out based on the original thing. And he admitted later that he should have been more direct too, because it's always college professors that come in, and they have a traveling budget or mission agency presidents that come in and preach at these things, and they have a traveling budget. And so I had been the first guy that wasn't one of those guys in a while, and he just basically forgot to tell me, by the way, you got to pay for your own hotel, because IPM doesn't have the money for that, and he certainly doesn't have the money for that. Brother Livioco makes 30,000 pesos a month, which is the equivalent of $400, and he's only 32% funded. And that's the way he does it. He has a choice. He can stay and get all of his funding till he gets up to 100% and miss out on a year, 2 years, maybe 3 years of ministry. He won't do that. He lives on a shoestring, and he spends 2 months a year going back trying to help himself just barely survive. But this man is a real missionary. I mean, this guy is really the real deal. He's not after the money. He's not after they live very meagerly, and he doesn't have to. He could very easily get up to 100% and get himself a nice place, but he wants to be in the ministry, and he realizes that time is short. So that's the way it goes. Lots more things I could talk about, obviously, right? I mean, we're already way over time. And I didn't tell you a whole bunch of stuff, but I've been talking for 50 minutes, so it's time for me to shut up. And pray for these people. These are your friends in Metro Manila and in other surrounding areas of the Philippines that come in from various places. We had one guy from Guam too, so I was happy to have him. But just a tremendous, tremendous experience. You guys did good allowing me to go, and back to normal, hopefully. Now, I do have 100.4 fever. I don't feel that bad, though. There's no sinus anything. It's just body aches and chills. So I'm feeling like we're going to be able to, you know, be here on Sunday and all. But pray for my health and pray that we can just pick it right up where we left off. Okay? All right.